Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, He understands us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today about what's happening to feminism. And I'm sure that Dr. Dobson will not mind that I want to quote from his letter of August 1994, a bit out of date by now, but these are the facts. He says that on May 1st in 1994, First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton received an honorary doctorate and delivered a Mother's Day commencement address at George Washington University. Her speech that afternoon dealt with the institution of the family and how she thinks it has changed. She said if it ever did, the American family no longer does consist of two parents, two children, a dog, a house with a white picket fence, and a station wagon in the driveway. Instead of families looking like the Cleavers on Leave It to Beaver, we have families that include test tube babies and surrogate moms. Instead of Sunday night family dinners, we now have cross-country telephone conference calls. Instead of aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, we have nannies and daycare centers. Mrs. Clinton went on to recommend what she called an extended family. Well, says Dr. Dobson, the First Lady was correct in reminding us of our responsibilities to help and care for one another. We should be attuned especially to the needs of single parents who are struggling to raise children on their own. But Mrs. Clinton's remarks that day conveyed another message, that the traditional family is ineffectual and no longer viable. She expressed no regret over the social and governmental forces that have assaulted the institutions of marriage and parenthood. She did not urge the graduates to preserve and support the traditional family unit, nor did she speak of its vital role in the culture. Rather, Mrs. Clinton began with the supposition that families, as we have known them, are gone forever, and then suggested ways of replacing them. In the early 70s, there was the publication of a book entitled The Death of the Family by British psychotherapist David Cooper. He emphasized the need to abolish the traditional family unit and to substitute new forms of human relationships. Actress Shirley MacLaine added her two bits in a 1971 interview published in the now-defunct magazine Look. She said, "All this goes back as far as Christian culture to what Mary and Joseph started. You know, it's just a million things that you have been handed down with the Christian ethic. So when you begin to question the family, you have to question all those things. I don't think it's desirable to conform to having one mate," says Shirley MacLaine. "And for those two people to raise children. But everyone believes that's the ideal. They go around frustrated most of their lives because they can't find one mate. But who said that's the natural, basic personality of man? To whom does monogamy make sense? To a muskrat, maybe." Well, that was Shirley MacLaine's view. Alvin Toffler, author of Future Shock, said, "My own hunch is that most people will try to go blindly through the motions of the traditional marriage and try to keep the traditional family going, and they'll fail. And the consequence will be a subtle but very significant shift to much more temporary marital arrangements, an intensification of the present pattern of divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage to the point at which we accept the idea that marriages are not for life. I'm not endorsing it," says Toffler, "but I think it's likely to be the case." And that was back in the 70s that he wrote those prophetic lines. Then another one of those talk show guests who delighted in ridiculing the family, a particularly hostile woman, she said about the marriage licenses, It's just a $2 piece of paper from a rotten government which tries to tell us who we can sleep with. She also said that she was married for 30 years and cheated on her husband at least 50 times during that period. She said she wouldn't recognize his voice if he called her on the phone. The guest then concluded by saying that the problem in the world was that we had too much religious fervor. We need to get rid of that, she said. And it was Representative Pat Schrader, Democrat from Colorado, who proclaimed a few years ago that only 7% of all families were traditional. Her statement went unchallenged by the media and was widely quoted in secular literature. And Dr. Dobson says that he invested considerable effort to track down her statistics and to determine on what it was based. What I learned is, he says, that she defined traditional families as those having a father who supported the family, a mother who chose not to be employed, and precisely two children at home. What nonsense. By that definition, my wife and I would not qualify as a traditional family because our children are grown, and because Shirley serves as unsalaried chairman of the National Day of Prayer. My friends Randy and Marcia Heckman are not traditional because they now have 12 children instead of two. A married couple expecting their first child would not satisfy the criteria. A family in which the wife works 10 hours a week in the husband's place of business wouldn't make the grade. Come on, Mrs. Schrader. This phony attempt to document the death of the family is nothing short of dishonest. He goes on, I've skipped a few paragraphs here, but Dr. Dobson says he has some more surprising news for those who believe that the family is dead and buried. An encouraging new trend has shocked the demographers and social experts. Perhaps you've been reading about it. Large numbers of women are leaving the workplace and making sacrifices required to stay home while their children are young. The latest findings flatly contradicted Mrs. Clinton's claim that nannies and daycare centers are replacing family members in the child-rearing years. Well, I can't tell you how cheered and encouraged I was to read this letter from Dr. Dobson. And I keep being sent clippings by many of my readers telling me that women are beginning to wake up and realize that there are some things that are far more important than the office in the top of the high-rise with your name on the door, the prestige of power and visibility in the business world. It's more important for some of these women to go home, to take a tremendous cut in salary, and to have a hidden place which would be considered weak by comparison. There's no power play when these women are alone at home with their children. By alone, I mean not visible to the rest of the world. Women who are seeing in their children Christ Himself. Remember what Jesus said. Anyone who receives one of these little ones in my name receives me. And inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it for me. And that means when you're feeding your child, when you're cleaning up the messes, when you're rocking him to sleep at night, when you're having to get up in the middle of the night and walk the floor and sacrifice your sleep, inasmuch as you've done it for one of them, Jesus said, you've done it for me. Back to Dr. Dobson's letter. A recent issue of the business journal Barron's described the exodus of women from the workplace as a demographic sea change. This was unthinkable just a few years ago and has far-reaching implications for business. According to the Barron's report, the two-paycheck family is on the decline. The traditional one-paycheck family is now the fastest-growing household unit. Well, think about that one. To determine the strength of these sentiments and to explore their permanence, Barron's conducted an informal survey of women who have stepped off the career ladder. This is what they replied when asked, "Why are you leaving?" I don't want to worry about my child, said Julie. And I think if I stay home, we're less likely to divorce, more likely to keep the family whole. Another said, I don't want to go to work so that my daughter can go to daycare, or so I can support the babysitter. A nurse, previously earning $27,000 a year, said, My husband and I sat down at the computer and looked at my salary, minus the cost of daycare, gasoline, and lunch. We realized it wouldn't pay for me to work. Barron's concluded, Only one of the women interviewed plans to pick up her old career full-time, and then only if she doesn't have a second child. For all, the decision to remain at home seemed to represent a lifestyle shift as women look to reduce the stress generated by a working world that continues to offer little in terms of genuine support for families. Well, to me, there's a lot of hope in those statistics. I'm thankful to see that the negative effects of the feminist movement are beginning to be noticed and studied and rejected. After all, it was God's idea that mothers should be mothers and that fathers should support the family and provide for them so that the mothers and the children can be at home. Thank God that things are happening to feminism.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.